so long ago and so far away in Bethlehem in Judea, on a cold night in winter with shepherds startled by stars and angels, a night sky so different from ours. The Southern Cross flags our identity as it scatters its light across our sky. On this summer day, we are not gathering with the cold of winter, nor with fear over the appearance of angels. We are gathered for worship this Christmas day. Mary did not choose to give birth in that cold stable, yet in that place, Mary gave birth to a Saviour. We are here in the expectation that this Saviour will be born anew in our hearts and our lives on this holy day, in this sacred space. With the whole church on earth and in heaven, we join in the angel's song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased." We stand to sing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful."
Thank you. and a special word of welcome for those of you who are gathering from different places. And one of the great things about Christmas is the opportunity to gather with people both far and near, and that's a wonderful thing to do, and including coming this morning. And look, it's kind of a bit weird in some ways. Alison, I think you said it was deja vu, or Ian, I can't remember, but she was sort of back to the future with some of the, some of the people here that we used to hang out with all those years ago. So it's great to be gathered, yes, particularly for those of you who are gathering with family and friends. That doesn't happen very often throughout other times of the year, and indeed may this day be a great day as you gather together with people around you. And also, as you're mindful of those others that maybe you might gather with, are very conscious of, that are not with you at this time as well. And for a variety of reasons, or maybe this is the first Christmas without someone that has been very dear to you, and may God continue with you as you share in those moments as well. And now, some of you have met Jess and Aaron over here, but if you haven't, this is Jess and Aaron here. We all went to a Christmas Eve service last night, so Julie and Emma are kind of doing some preparation at home for the rest of today for us. So that is great. And I know a number of us of our folk are travelling or away from us as well today, and so we're mindful of them and the time that they're spending with family in a different place. And as I mentioned last Sunday, just to remind particularly for folk here that Julie will be joining us within the new year. About then, just as we finish off some plans there, so forward to joining us sometime in the new year. Now, I think we're recording today, Andrew. Are we recording? A word of welcome to those of you who will listen to this service at a different time, and we're so glad that we're able to share together in that way as well. Very shortly, we'll have our Advent wreath lighting the Christ candle. As I've done the last couple of weeks, I haven't particularly lined up anyone to do that. And so shortly, if that's something that you'd like to do, and today it's simply lighting the central Christ candle, then very shortly I'll ask someone to come forward to do that. So welcome, one and all. This is the Christmas story, a story that's not confined to a manger 2,000 years ago in the ancient land of Israel. The Christmas story is one that reaches from the beginning of time to its very end. The story that John spoke of in his Gospel. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God at the beginning, and through him all things were created. No created thing came into being without him. In the Word was life, and that life was the light of humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I invite someone to come forward and to light the Christ candle. John continues to write, He was in the world, but the world, though it owed its being to him, did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people would not receive him. But to those who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God, not through human desire, but through God alone. So the Word became flesh and came among us and was one of us. And we saw his glory, the glory which befits God's only Son, full of grace and truth. Amen. Let us pray.
Well, God, we give you thanks for this day. And as we gather together, we come with thankful hearts, praising you for all that you have done for us. In your grace and mercy, you gave us your Son to be our Emmanuel, God with us. Please give us a renewal of faith and life at this Christmas time, and save us from anything that we take for granted and from those things that we avoid. We celebrate the coming of Jesus as the light of the world. Yet, O Lord, we confess that there have been times when we have obscured the light for others through insensitivity and prejudice, through the use of careless and hurtful words or selfish and destructive actions. O Lord, in these few moments of quietness, we continue to pray. Merciful God, when we trivialise the Christmas gospel, please have mercy on us. When we talk of peace and goodwill with so little of it in our own lives, Lord, have mercy. So that we might not only sing carols and light candles, but also serve the Christ and allow his light to shine, Lord, have mercy on us. Gracious God, the magnitude of our sins is always outreached by the magnitude of your mercies. We, your grateful people, turn to you in trust, knowing that in Jesus Christ our sins are forgiven and our foolishness is overruled by your abundant grace. And so we're able to say, thanks be to God. Amen. We sing one of the great Australian carols, The North Wind. The North Wind. Next Sunday at 9 o'clock here, and also that there's no morning tea after the service this morning, so we can rush home and get into all those goodies that are waiting for us there, which will be great. So we have a series of readings now, and there's some carols in between those readings. First of all, from Isaiah chapter 9.
Isaiah 9, verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest grain, or when they divide captured wealth. For you have broken the yoke that burdened them and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nation that oppressed and exploited your people, just as you defeated the army of Midian long ago. The boots of the invading army and all their blood-stained clothing will be destroyed by fire. A child is born to us. A son is given to us. And he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty is determined to do all this.
Angels from the realms of glory.
Now reading from Luke chapter 2 verses 1 to 7. At that time, Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own hometown. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn. Luke, verses 8 to 20, obviously called the Shepherd and the Angel. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them,
"Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town your Saviour is born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God.
"Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in a manger. And when the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them. May the Lord bless to us understanding of those readings from his word.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the treasured parts of Christmas is the Christmas carols. That I heard someone say recently that this is a great thing because we sing these carols off by heart. And not because we simply know the words, but by heart. And I thought that was a really helpful thing to reflect on. We sing them by heart. We treasure them. They sit within our heart. They stir something within us. They stir something within our heart that speaks to us of hope and peace and truth, things that we so often hold out for. So one of these treasured things is that we sing carols often by heart. I often think it's really quite amazing what we sing at Christmas time. For example, as James Montgomery wrote, "Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight over all the earth. You who sang creation's story, you who are there in the beginning of all things, now proclaim Messiah's birth." That's a fantastic thing to sing. Or Charles Wesley. Had to get Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley, or one or two others along the way, as it changed a bit over the years, "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see." Carlton Young, who's a editors some of the hymn books for the United Methodist Church in the US, writes of this hymn by Charles Wesley as being much more than just a Christmas hymn. This is a hymn on humankind's recreation, reformation, and reconciliation in the life and the witness of Jesus Christ. Wow. And we sing it every year. "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see." Or this one by Placide Capot. Pardon my French there, Capot. "Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. Or John Mason Neal, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. Emmanuel shall come to thee. Emmanuel, God with us. Or Nathan Tate, and we've just sung this. While shepherds watch their flocks by night or seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. The angel's word to the shepherds, fear not, don't be afraid. Whenever someone in the scriptures, whether that be the Old Testament or the New Testament, whenever someone in the scriptures has any contact with an angel, the initial response by that person is always the same, well, nearly almost the same. It's one of absolute fear, that they're scared out of their wits. And that rightly so, for these are encounters with the holy. And it's awesome, in the best use of that word, awesome. And in the Christmas story, we have lots of visits by angels to people who are scared out of their wits. So we have the angel Gabriel coming to Zechariah and to Mary and to the shepherds. And each of them in their own way are startled and stunned and frightened by this appearance. Their response is always the same. As is the first word that the angel says to them. Again, whether it be these three or whether it be in the Old Testament, the response that the angel says, the first word is always the same. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Something extraordinary is about to happen. God is about to do something that will change your world, that will change the world. Don't be afraid. That's the message that the angel gives whenever an angel comes to one of God's people. Don't be afraid. Oh, how we need to hear that today and tomorrow and the day after. God's saying to us, don't be afraid. I am now with you. In John's Gospel, when Jesus is talking with his troubled and distressed followers about his soon to be leaving them, around about John 14, 15, 16, he speaks to them about the difficulties that will follow. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That is, Jesus says to them, don't be afraid, be at peace, take heart. We hear echoes of it in the last verse of Matthew's Gospel, where the risen Christ is speaking with his followers, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Don't be afraid. We heard some words from John's Gospel towards the beginning of our service today, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Surely this is the hope that we cling to at Christmas and indeed every day, every moment, that Christ as the light of the world has shone into the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Don't be afraid. For at this Christmas season, we hear of the God who in Christ came among us, who came among us to not only share the experiences of our humanity, but who in his conception, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection and ascension, envelops all aspects of our life and presents our life renewed and restored to God the Father. The humanity of God that restores our lost humanity. And so there's something about the Christmas story, a word that speaks to our hopelessness, a word that speaks to our pain, our loneliness, our discontent, our dissatisfaction, our times, our experiences being let down. In the Christmas story, we hear a transforming word of hope, a saving word, a word of reconciliation, a word that says something new is possible. A word that tells us that the God of eternity, the God of eternity has broken through that eternity and joined us. The God beyond us has, indeed at Christmas we hear the word became flesh and lived among us. This is the incarnational love of God, the one in power who willingly enters the human condition of our suffering in order to love us completely and to restore our relationship with God, with the world, and with each other. God has become one of us in Jesus, has become as we are, so that every part of our human experience, our pain, our helplessness, our vulnerability and weakness, so that every part of our human experience can experience restoration, redemption, salvation, can experience new life. So amidst our hopes and our struggles, we hear the words of the angel, "Don't be afraid. God is bringing and has brought good news. Don't be afraid." Amidst our hopes and struggles, we hear the good news of Jesus, who brings life and hope to all aspects of our lives. And may we this Christmas share in the experience of God who comes to us and shares life with us. May God's grace and peace be with each of you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing the carol Once in Royal David City, and in the last verse, if you come prepared for an offering this morning, we will receive that during the last verse. And so we'll remain seated at this point, and then the last verse we will stand, which is verse 4. So we're just singing 4 verses. Once in Royal David City. receive and bless these gifts which we give in response to the greatest gift of all, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May our lives and this offering, including that towards the Christmas bowl, be used to reveal your love in as many ways and to as many people as possible. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, one of the things that this congregation has supported for many, many years is the Christmas bowl appeal, and on Christmas Day our offering goes to support that, and indeed the opportunity that people have during Advent and I guess a week or two after as well, but certainly today we share in the offering for the Christmas bowl and the extraordinary work that they continue to do in supporting so many people across this world. Thanks, Mary.
Let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, on this special day of celebration and gift giving, we take a moment to pause in silence and reflection. Today we acknowledge that you generously gave your Son for us. You taught us that the fruits of the Holy Spirit are available to all who believe. We are grateful for the abundant grace given to us, the peace that we experience in this country of ours that we call home. In our inner thoughts and being, within our family and work life, we are grateful for hope for our future, the joy available to our spirit that comes from your presence in our daily lives, and the everyday opportunities to renew our faith in you. We pray for the leaders of all nations, that they may be moved by wisdom and courage rather than small-mindedness and greed. We pray for your church, that it may be an extension of your love in the world. We are grateful for our freedoms, both personal and political. O God, you are with us. You are for us. Heal the wounded, forgive our brokenness, support the weak and disenfranchised. Remove our pride and be with us in times of loneliness, confusion and sorrow. As we gather together with friends and family, help us to realise your loving grace in our relationships. Help us to cherish each other and not take each other for granted. Help us to be kind and patient with others, forgiving one another. We remember with affection absent loved ones. Fill our hearts and minds with joy as we accept your unconditional love with open hearts. In Jesus' name, these things we pray. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We're going to sing Joy to the World, and then there'll be some words prior to the benediction and then a blessing. And so just as we do that, certainly from myself and your family, we wish you a happy Christmas and may this be a blessed day for you. Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
And can
in concluding Christmas services that I would do around the place, I would finish with a Christmas prayer by Robert Louis Stevenson. And I'm sure that many of you have read some of Robert Louis Stevenson's books over the year. Treasure Island, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, whichever way they are. And Kidnapped, Child's Garden Verses. He wrote this really beautiful Christmas prayer, and I want to finish with that and then say a blessing. Loving Father, help us remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and the worship of the wise men. Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world. Let kindness come with every gift and good desires with every greeting. Deliver us from evil by the blessing which Christ brings, and teach us to be merry with clear hearts. May the Christmas morning make us happy to be your children, and the Christmas evening bring us to our beds with grateful thoughts, forgiving and forgiven, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.